as we prepare our hearts for worship, hear these words from Psalm 8. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beast of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Would you pray with me? O Lord, our Lord, how beautiful, how strong, how eternal, how good is your name over all and above all. And yet we join with the psalmist in his heart and his wonderings this morning and asking you, how is it a God so big and so mighty would think of us, mere mortals, and choose to love us and choose to know us and choose to invite us to join you in your beautiful work in this world. It is a truth that seems too good to be true, except it is true. And so our hearts have gathered this morning to lift high your name in all the earth, to lift high your name in our own homes and our own hearts. O Lord, our Lord, would you be glorified in these moments that we turn to you? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. John 15, verse 9. This is Jesus speaking. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. John 17, verse 25. This is Jesus praying. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I have made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. Would you pray with me? Living God, as we turn to your word, would you help us hear whatever it is you want us to hear, so you might help us be whoever it is you want us to be, so you might help us do whatever it is you want us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know those stickers, the name tag stickers that say, hello, my name is, and then they leave the blank for you to fill in your name? What if I was able to give you one of those this morning, and I asked you to fill it out, but I said you can't put down your given name. What I want you to write in the blank is the name that truly defines who you are. If there was just one word that you could pick that would get to the core of what you're all about, of what makes you, you, what would you put on that name tag? What would you do if you had to pick a word that if other circumstances in your life totally changed overnight, this thing would still remain because it is who you are? What would be on your name tag? I wish you were right here so you could shout out your answers to me because you always have really fun answers. What would be on your name tag? We spent the first several months of this year letting God fill out his name tag. Do you remember that? Sunday after Sunday, January, February, and March, we looked at the names of God in Scripture, the characteristics of God in Scripture, who he says he is, what makes God God, what is he like, what is God all about. And so with this great foundation of who our God, our Creator is, for the next few months, we're going to delve into the next question, which is, okay, if that's true about God, then who are we? What's our true identity? Regardless of what the world tells us, and regardless of what our enemies say about us, and regardless of what the people who idolize us say about us, we're going to be asking that God might show us what is real about us. Who does God, our Creator, our Father, say we are? And we're going to start this morning, this first Sunday of this series that I'm so excited about, with the very most important name that could ever be on your name tag. If you don't get this name right, then all the other names that you might scribble in there, they just aren't going to matter one bit. My friends, this morning, I get this amazing, beautiful privilege of telling you God's very favorite name for you. I believe with all my heart that if God had the fattest, biggest, blackest Sharpie marker in the universe, that he would use it to write this name on your name tag. For all the world to see. Do you know what it might say? What does your gut tell you? What does your heart tell you? What is your mind trying to tell you? This morning, the Spirit inside of me tells you that that name would say, my beloved. God's beloved. The truth is, you are deeply, completely loved by your God. Your real name today and every day, your best name is and will always be beloved, God's beloved. John chapters 14 through 17, they're often called the farewell discourse because these are several chapters where Jesus is giving his very final words before he knows he's going to die and raise again and ascend to be with his Father in heaven. And so these chapters, they have these words that Jesus just knew that he had to tell before his work here on earth was done. The words you see in John 14 through 17, pay attention, hold on to those. They're from the depths of Jesus' heart to you. They're of utmost importance. And twice in these chapters, he says a very similar thing. John chapter 15, Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. And then in John 17, as he's praying to the Father, Jesus says, I've made your name known, so the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. Did you get that? Twice in these final passages, Jesus says this, the same love that the Father has for him, his only Son, the Father has for you. For you, his beloved child too. Did you get that? Do you get how profound it is? Do you get how staggering it is? As the Father has loved me, Jesus says, so I have loved you. It is the same love. It's not like God has some kind of rankings where Jesus gets the most love and then the Holy Spirit right below him and then good Christian people doing good Christian things next and then Christian people not doing such good things next and then not Christian people doing good things next and then not Christian people doing not good things at the very bottom. It's not like that. It's the same love. The same love that the Father has for the Son has for us. Jesus loves us just as much as the Father loves him. Can you even comprehend that this morning? Would you look down at your name tag, that one that you're imagining you're wearing, and would you see what it says? It says, hello, my name is God's beloved. He loves me just as much as he loves his Son. Is this good news or what? And so if he loves us, the Father, just the same way he loves the Son, then the question this morning is, so how does the Father love the Son? Lots of different ways. We'll look at just a few of them this morning. One way the Father loves the Son is he delights in who the Son is, regardless of what the Son does. Do you remember in the gospel stories the first time the Father calls his Son beloved? Do you remember? Is it right after one of Jesus' great miracles? When that little boy has his lunch and Jesus uses his bread to multiply it and feed 5,000 people? Is that when the heavens open up and the Father shouts out and says, "That's my boy. Look how talented he is. I sure love him." Is that when he does it? Or does he say it for the first time after one of Jesus's really great zinger sermons that got the crowds just stirring? And in that moment, did the heavens open up and did the Father speak down and say, "That's my boy. You see how well he knows his Bible? Oh, I just love him." When's the first time the Father calls Jesus his beloved? It's at his baptism. Remember that? As he steps into the waters, the heavens open up, they're torn open, it says. And the Father proclaims out loud, "This is my Son, my beloved, and with him I am well pleased." And now, what had Jesus done before he got baptized? Nothing really. He was born and he grew up. And that's it. He hasn't done a miracle yet, hasn't even started his ministry yet. He hasn't preached a sermon yet. He hasn't done anything. And yet, the Father says, "That's my Son. I love him." All we know that Jesus had done up to this point was he got wet. "That's my Son, my beloved." You see, my friends, being God's beloved isn't contingent on what you do or how you behave or how much you accomplish in his name. The Father delights in the Son just because that's his Son. He just loves everything about who he is. You guys that know me, you know that I haven't had children yet. I just have a dog that I treat like a kid. But I haven't had children. And yet I've been in very many hospital rooms and homes just moments after a newborn baby is born. And you know, I've noticed that the same thing happens every time. Did you know that every parent in that place holding this brand new little life in their arms, you know, they always say the same thing. They always say, "I just can't believe how much I already love him, already love her. I didn't even know it was possible to love something that much." And I ask you, what has this baby done up to this point to make a good case for why they should be loved? Nothing. Nothing. They just showed up. And they caused a lot of pain and a really big hospital bill in the process. And in their showing up, they made some really obnoxious noises. And they came out really messy. And they were going to stay messy for like 16 years. Those newborns, they can't even wash their own dishes or change their own diapers. They can't earn their keep around the house. And yet, time after time, I run into these big marshmallow-hearted mamas and daddies, and they just keep saying, "I just love him so much." That's what it means to be the beloved. That's how God the Father loves God the Son. And that's how Jesus the Son loves you. With the same love that his Father has given to him. Hello, my name is God's beloved because God delights in me just for who I am. My friends, if you could hear God's voice right now, oh, I wish you could. If you could, I believe this is what you would hear. Maybe you do hear it, and thanks be to God if you do. I believe you would hear the heavens open up and the most beautiful voice you have ever heard proclaiming out loud for all to hear. That's my boy, and that's my girl. I just love him. I just love her. So much it hurts. I just love you. That's what he's saying. How else does the Father love the Son? He lets him grow by going through hard things. And you see, it starts the minute after he's baptized. Matthew makes it sound like Jesus is still dripping wet when the Spirit of God sends him into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. For 40 days, Jesus is going to struggle with great discomfort and hard choices around every turn that are going to define what kind of Messiah he is going to be. And if you go back and read that wilderness story, you will notice that there is someone who doesn't show up besides on that very first day when Jesus is led there and on the very last day when they come to feed him. There's one person who doesn't show up in Jesus' wilderness struggle place. You know who it is? The Father or the Spirit. You see, the Father doesn't love the Son in a helicopter parent sort of way. He doesn't hover over him for 40 days and whisper when no one's looking about where the secret stash of bread is. And he doesn't intervene every time the devil, that bully, shows up again and again and say, "You don't know who you're messing with. I'm going to go all Papa Bear on you." He never says that. The Father lets the Son walk through his own hard seasons. The Father lets the Son learn how to overcome his own hard challenges because he knows this is what will give him strength that he will need to follow the path laid out for him. And it will be the path of life. And the path of life never comes without a great deal of struggle. The Father loves the Son by teaching him early on how to keep on keeping on. I've heard so many parents say that there is really nothing more excruciating than seeing your child in pain. If you see them in a hard place that you know you can fix, everything inside of you wants to run in and fix it. But the Father loves the Son enough to sometimes let him go through this struggle, knowing that real growth and real strength comes from overcoming and not from just always getting bailed out. In these days when we've been told to stay at home and all of my favorite trails are closed down, I have been finding my peace and my joy on my bike, putting in miles and miles on the back roads, marveling at this beautiful place that we get to call home. As I ride, I feel myself coming alive, and I can finally breathe deeply, and I can talk to God in that place in a clear sort of way that's hard to come by when I'm staring at a computer screen. And when I'm out on my bike soaring through the roads of Washington, I can't help but sit there and think that I think perhaps one of the most loving things that my dad ever did for me was teach me how to ride a bike. I remember the day he took me to a school parking lot and he promised me, little bitty me, he promised me that he would hold on to my seat and he wouldn't let it go. If I would just pedal, he would keep me upright. He promised me. Guess what? He let go. And guess what happened? I crashed and I burned. And I was so mad at my dad. I was bloody and I was hurting and he promised me. But you see, way back then, my dad knew what I didn't yet know at 6 years old. He knew that that wouldn't be my last crash in life. And the sooner I learned to struggle and get back up and try again, the better off I'd be in this world. And my dad knew that 36-year-old Jamie didn't need him running behind, holding on to my seat for the rest of my life. He knew that at some point, I would have to learn to adventure without him and to take risk and to take in the beauty. And so my dad let me fall. He let me go. And in doing that, he let me see that he loved me enough to let me live. I remember being 16 and begging my mom to let me go with this small church group to the Amazon rainforest. I told her, it's no big deal, Mom. They got it figured out. We'll be floating down the river in a little boat, sleeping in hammocks at night, and then we'll dock at different villages in the day, and we're going to do health clinics and give out eyeglasses and share some good news. It's no big deal. It's just the Amazon. She let me go, 16. At 21, I came back to her, and I told her that God had put on my heart to fly to Jordan that summer to spend 6 weeks living with Palestinian refugees, being their neighbor, being their friend. I was going to go alone. I said, I'll meet a missionary when I get there. It'll be fine, Mom. It's just the Middle East. 21, she let me go. And then I came back at 22. She was getting good at this by now. And I said, Mom, now God's doing something else. He's asking me to move to Egypt and to Syria for at least 2 years. I was going to be neighbors and best friends with Muslims, the kinds in her mind that she'd only ever seen on the news. You know what? She let me go. And I can tell you today that I have never been so sure that my parents loved me as when they let go of that bike and let me ride. And when they prayed over me in my packed suitcase and they let me go. Looking back, I appreciate the times when they jumped in and they fixed my problems. But I believe today that real love was shown when my dad let his 6-year-old pedal off on her own, knowing it might hurt. And when a mom said, "You have my blessing," and watched a plane take her kid to a foreign land. You see, they knew that hard days would be ahead. And they knew that those days would be just what I needed to come fully alive to who God was making me to be in this world. As the Father loved the Son and sent him to this messy earth to struggle, so the Son loves you and lets you go through some hard stuff so you can grow until you're fully alive in him too. Hello, my name is God's beloved. He lets me go through hard things because he knows that there is grit in me that I don't even know about. And it thrills him to see me recognize the beauty of the strength of the stuff that he's put deep inside of there. You are God's beloved. And the struggle does not negate that. It's part of it. How else does the Father love the Son? He gives him a choice to love him back. In the wilderness, 3 times, Jesus could have chosen to go his own way. And all the way up until the end, in the garden, just before his arrest, Jesus could have said, "Never mind, I'm bailing on this. This just got a little bit too crazy." You see, the Father never manipulates the Son into loving him. And he never threatens him, "You're going to love me, Jesus, or else." The Father just loves the Son. And he lets the Son choose to freely love him in return. And is there really any other way for love to be genuine but for it to be free, unmanipulated, a choice? I'm willing to bet you've got those relatives who manipulate. When you don't do what they want you to do, even if they're grown adults, they pout. And they want you to choose their house for every holiday. And when you don't, in some passive-aggressive way, they make sure that you know that you are ruining their holiday too. And so each time that time of year rolls around, you have that tension, what to do, what to choose. If you do choose to spend the day with them, you know you're doing it more out of obligation than desire. We know those people, right? And I hope you've got those relatives who just always have the open invitation. No guilt, no shame with it. They're the ones who genuinely say to you, we'd love to have you anytime, but if you can't make it, no worries. We love you just the same. The Father loves the Son in this way, and the Son loves us just the same. He says to us, my door is always open. My table is always set. Come when you want. Be loved when you're ready. But come because you want to come. Not because you feel like you have to. Not because you're afraid God's going to pout if you don't. Love is a choice. And God chooses to love you. And he lets you get to choose to love him too or not. He won't manipulate you. He won't force you. He will only invite you. Because that's when love is real. Hello, my name is Beloved. My Father, he chooses to love me. And he lets me choose to love him or not. And yet his table is still set for me just the same. What's your name? Your name is Beloved. One final way the Father loves the Son. He spends eternity being with him before using him for anything. Did you get that? You see, the Father and the Son were together, enjoying the fullness of life with one another long before the Father ever said, now, Jesus, I've got an important job for you to do. And my friends, God loves you long before he ever wants to use you. I fear that sometimes we get this idea that we're really just here on earth to do God's dirty work. All that stuff that he caused to happen, that mess that he made by giving us this free choice stuff, now he wants us to come behind him and clean it up. I've heard some kids complain before that their parents only want them around to be the person to wash the dishes. And I'm afraid that sometimes we kind of think of God like that. And I tell you this morning that we couldn't be more wrong. Sometimes we just have a really big view of ourselves. And we forget that God doesn't need us to work for him. He could feed all the hungry. And he could heal all the sick. And he could save all the lost souls in this world in a split second without you even so much as lifting a finger or even knowing it was going on. He doesn't need you. Before God ever asked a thing of you, he just wants you to know that he really only loves you. And so then whatever he puts on your heart to do, whatever work is yours to give yourself to, it's only a chance to share in that love with him. It's not dirty work. It's life-stirring, heart-mending, soul-healing, purpose-fulfilling, only way of really living kind of work. God only uses you to affirm his love for you. And those of you who have ever really participated with God in his holy work, you know this is true. Because you know that there is nothing you would rather give your life to and working right beside your Father. That's when you come most alive to God's love, when you get your hands dirty with your dad. He doesn't need us. He wants us. And that's real love. I've told you before that there's a season in my life when I was just looking and looking for what God wanted me to do for him. I wanted to be so obedient and do big things and change the world. And I would start the morning with a blank piece of paper. And I would say, God, here I am. Just tell me what to do today. Anything you ask, I'll do it. Anything, anything, anything. God, I'm listening, I'm listening. Tell me, give me my checklist. Tell me what you want me to do. And in this silent place, one of the first times I ever heard my Father's voice spoken to my heart, he said clear as day, Jamie, I just love you. I just love you. Today, I want you to put the checklist away and just let me love you. I don't just want to use you. I just love you. Hello, my name is Beloved, because my God doesn't just want to use me. My God wants me, and my God loves being with me. This is who you are. Whether you buy it or not, it matters not. Jesus still calls you his beloved. Whether you have warm fuzzies in your heart hearing this good news or not, it matters not. Jesus still calls you his beloved. Whether you declare this morning with all your heart, I love you too, Jesus, or not, it matters not. Jesus still calls you his beloved. That's who you are. He created you. He gets to say so. You're not going to change that. Hello. Your name is Beloved, I see. Nice to meet you. My name is Beloved, too. My goodness, I wonder what a couple of beloved people who start believing what's on their name tag might be able to do. I wonder. Would you pray with me? Father God, thank you that when you look at us, of all the names you could give us, the first one that comes to your heart and your mind and your lips is my beloved. Just as you loved your son Jesus, Jesus has loved us fully, completely. This morning, would you just help us receive our true name? Would you help us receive that love? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.